We invite the Holy Spirit to come again, to be among us, to revive us, to be in our midst. We pray, Lord God, for your grace and mercy to continue to be upon those. And we are certainly grateful that today one of our own is back among us. And we are glad. We are glad to see Marilyn, Lord God, that she is with us this day, that she has gone through and you brought her forth. We thank you. We know we are continually with us. And so speak a word now for us, Lord God, that we could continue to hold on and to live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And it's good seeing you, Marilyn. I thought you were still in the hospital. Thanks be to God for... Huh? Praise the Lord, right? That she's back among us. And of course we have... Oh, what a wonderful... It's good to get good news, isn't it? It's good to get good news. There's enough bad news in the world. Well, you know, we've got some stuff to go over in to summarize. That comes from the Lord. Sometimes Jesus gives us big things. Now, we're out of Pentecost. We're in the season of Pentecost, and we go through Jesus' ministry again. You know, we keep reading the Bible sooner or later. You've been in church a long time. You've heard every book in the Bible and every verse read, but that's not true, because certain parts we have to skip. We can't be here forever, but the lection touches on it. But we cannot do them all. But we certainly hear a lot today from the Lord. A reading from the Message Bible says, "Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages." That's where the circuit rider came from. It's the Methodist circuit riders. "He taught in their meeting places, reported news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like a sheep with no shepherd. And then he said, 'What a huge harvest,' he said to his disciples, 'and how few workers. Go on your knees and pray for harvest hands. Go on your knees and pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvest hands, for workers.'" You see, Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And he was healing every disease and every sickness. Yet when he looked out at the crowd, his heart broke. He had compassion on them, the scripture says. Why? Because they were troubled and lost, confused and aimless. Friends, could you imagine now in this world if Jesus was... We know Jesus is looking out. But how do we think Jesus would feel about what he sees going on in the world, in our communities? And I'm not just talking about political issues. I'm talking about everyday people who are hurting in our world and in our community. I read this little reflection that says, goes like this. A psychologist, her name is Madeline Levine, has been counseling teenagers for over 25 years. But recently, Levine has begun to see a new breed of unhappy teenagers. Unhappy teenagers. Smart, successful, and privileged kids who feel utterly lost and empty. For Levine, one client in particular typified this kind of unhappy teenager. Late on a Friday afternoon, the last appointment of a week, Levine saw a 15-year-old girl who was bright, personable, highly pressured by her adoring parents, but frequently preoccupied parents. The girl was also very angry. Levine quickly recognized the girl's cutter disguise. You know what they're talking about, the cutter disguise. A long-sleeved t-shirt pulled halfway over her hand, with an opening torn in the cuff of her thumb. Such t-shirts are used to hide self-mutilating behaviors, cutting with sharp instruments, piercing with safety pins, or burning with matches. And when the young girl pulled back her sleeve, Levine was startled to find that the girl had used a razor to carve the following word into her form in uppercase, empty. Levine commented, I try to imagine how intensely unhappy my young patient must have felt to cut her distress into her flesh. The most common thing I hear in my office from kids is, I am fake. The surface of their life, their family life, always looks good. The lawns are always perfectly manicured. The houses also look beautiful. But when you get to what's going on beneath these kids' t-shirt, there's not much happening inside. And church, let me tell you, it is not just a story. I have a wonderful dentist. He has two children. His daughter now is going to this, just finished college and got accepted to medical school. But 4 years ago, she became a cutter. And my dentist, who I've known for a long time, man who had done everything right that he thought he and his wife, cried. Didn't know what to do. They're Roman Catholic. Thanks be to God, because of some care and some medical care, she turned, was able to turn and get back to where she needs to be. These were some of the kind of people was in the crowd. People who were hurting. For Jesus was so overwhelmed. But you know what's beautiful about that text? Jesus did not give up on the people. He did not give up on them. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said to them, folks, the harvest is huge, bigger than you could think. But we need workers. So let us pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. Now, church, guess who Jesus is looking at now? As Jesus sees these kids who are sick and grown-ups who are sick and in our communities who are in need and even in our churches, guess who is looking at now? Guess who is looking? Can anybody take a guess? He's looking at us, the church. The question is, what are we going to do? Because the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. What are we going to do? Because he has left us. Remember last week when I said to you, he gave us four alls, right? He left us. He says, you go make disciples. And then he gave us one last word, and that's the last line, and I will always be with you until the end of the ages. But you need to go make disciples. You need to go tell people about me. You need to go. That's why I'm so excited in a way about LICAN, Long Island CAN, this group of congregations across denominations that are coming together now to see what we can do about the opioid situation. How can we bring hope into somebody's life? What can we do? We're not psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. There'll be clinical folks there, but some of these kids need somebody to hold their hands. When they asked me to be in that committee, I says, that's the place I want to be, where you hit the street to talk to somebody. The meeting, the next meeting, I'm going all the way out to East Core Park, Creek Park, whatever the town is. It's written down somewhere. But I'm going to show up to go to have the dialogue, to see what we can do. Can we offer our space for a group? Can we offer prayer? I told the district, we've got to have a district prayers. What can we do? Because it's not just about us and our needs. Right? We know that Jesus will take care of our needs. It's about those young people and even that are hurting and dying around us, coming from good homes. Jesus is asking us the question. He's telling us he doesn't need a million people, would like to have a million. But he's saying, what can you do? The harvest is plentiful. You, what can you do? And here we have it. As we begin the text and we look at the text, we see in Matthew 10, verse 1, we read that Jesus gave his disciples authority. It says, then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirit to cast out demons and to cure every disease and every sickness. He gave us authority. Come on now, church, we have got to walk in that authority. What does authority mean? For you know, I'm big on definitions, as you know. Authority is the power to influence or command a thought, an opinion, or a behavior. Authority is the freedom granted by one authority to another authority. So the freedom is granted to us to go forth and do from the greater authority, which is Jesus Christ, because he promised he'll be with us always.
Amen.
All right? He promised that. Do you think I know what I'm doing when I'm going to go out there and talk to these young people? I probably would be crying and weeping and praying and don't, but I know that I don't have to have the words. You hear what the scripture says? You don't even have to have the words. He'll give you the words. Sometimes you have to say nothing but to put your arms around a young person. He has given us authority to go forth and to do something. But you know something? There are times when you have authority and you don't know what you're doing, do you? I remember now when I was in corporate, just starting out, and you know we always call it the sweatshop. You know, when I used to work at an ad agency, and it has these cubicles, or you never even had cubicles then. You just sat out, and there were many of you just sitting. We're just grinding paper and so on with the whole computer system. And we got a new boss. And she came in. I was relatively new. And she had authority. And she obviously thought she knew everything. And she came on the floor and she was going to have authority. And she's telling folks. Now the other folks who had been there, guess what? They decided, since she has authority and she's not speaking to them and she's not getting, she'd better figure it out. And they're not doing anything and she's operating in her authority. Till one day she got into such trouble with, they never met a deadline. I was new, so I was just following the rest of the sheep, the rest of folks. And she realized that she need what? Instruction. You have to have authority, and then you have to have instructions. And Jesus has left instructions for us. Not only did he give us the authority of the day at Pentecost, right? Told us to go forth. We read it last week again. Says you have the authority because I have the authority and I'm giving you. He gave us instructions. And instructions are a detailed information, detailed telling us how to do something. Something should be done, operated, or assembled. Church, I tell you, I was trying to take my blood pressure to monitor it. And so I said to my doctor, I had this little machine that 5 years old, I guess, was sitting there. I got it from forever. And I decided I'm going to try to use this little blood pressure machine so I could monitor to make sure that, you know, because he had said, they got everything else is fine, just got to watch that. I figured I'm going to try to monitor. But guess what I did? I didn't really read the instructions properly because, you know, I'm just looking at it. You know, if you know my personality, I could figure this out. Well, doctors who were here, I nearly pulled my arm off of one socket because I put the thing on without reading the instructions. And there was a thing, and I'm putting it on. It says, put your arm to your chest and put it on the table. But I didn't read. And I started pushing the little thing, and it starts getting. Then once it got so low, then I thought, I must be dead because it says 40-something. And that's because I'm looking down, and it got so low. And I thought, but this can't be possible. And then it just started over and started. Psh, psh, and it squeezed so much, I thought my whole arm was going to be pulled out the socket. You've got to have instructions. So when I went to my doctor the next day, I was telling him I was trying to take my pressure. He says, you should have brought the machine. I would show you how to do it. Why? Because I thought, oh my God. And I'm trying to hold on to it. Because I am doing it, without reading the instructions, folks. Getting the right instruction. When I finally got off and I felt my heart going, I said, God, I'm going to kill myself in here. I just wrapped up that little machine. I put it away. I says, I'm never touching you. Then I said to the doctor, they must have special cuff for when your arm is a little bit fatter. He says, yes, they do. You see, one need, and I tell, my doctor will tell you if he ever come here, I say anything to him. I says, doc, you know when there's a little fatter on your arm, don't you need more? And he says, yes, you need a bigger cuff. So you see, I needed instructions. And Jesus, I didn't know I was going to go there with this text today, but you see how my mind works. Jesus knows that we need instructions. So because he knows he's going to do exactly what I'm going to do. And you know, you all are laughing at me, but you've all done it. Put something together without the instructions, right? And nothing works. We need instruction. So Jesus wants us to follow a plan. And he's going to tell us, and I'm not going to go through all the instructions because it's in the Word, but he tells us, he says, one part of the instructions he begins with, which one could debate for a long time, he says, he is what? Don't go to the Gentiles first. He really meant don't go to us first. Go to the children of Israel. We know he'll say it in Mark. He came for the children of Israel first, didn't he? So he's going to say that here, right? And he's going to tell them, but he says, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go gather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. First go. And he says what? Bring them the good news. So that's one of our first instructions. We are supposed to bring them the good news. And what is the good news, church? The good news of Jesus Christ, what is it? It is that Jesus loves you. That Jesus is a healer and can heal whatever you're going through. That Jesus will never leave you. The good news is that he dies for you. He died for you. And if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, there's a place in heaven for you. That's the good news, isn't it? That's the first good news, that Jesus Christ died for you.
We cannot explain it in all its its form and exactly, but we know that our Bible promises. And when they ask you, how do you know this? Because we have a word, a holy word that promises that. And we believe it to be true. We know he's a healer because we know he has healed many. It's in the word, and he has healed me, myself. He has been there for me. Simple words. He's been a helper to me and my family. He's been a helper to my grandparents. I don't just mean me. I mean, that's the words you're using. He wants us to go first and make this, and tell them the good news of the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven is near, that God could come anytime. Anytime he could return. And here's the truth, church, and tomorrow is promised to no one. It's not that he could just come. Yes, he could come anytime. But tomorrow is promised to no one. That every day we get up, it's a gift from God. And so he wants us to go. He says that then we should cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. And what he's saying is, in his name, right? In his name we are praying for folks, and we are praying in his name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, your sight be restored. And we're doing it and we're believing in God's name that it shall be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we don't care if people are smart. When I go to pray for someone and they ask me to pray and they're sick, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm not trying to decipher or figure it out. I don't care if I look stupid. I'm just going to pray because that's what I know how to do. That's what he told me to do. In the name of Jesus. That's what he's telling all of us here, church. In the name of Jesus. Go forth. Not all of us can do that, but we could tell somebody. We could say, you know, Pastor, somebody is sick, or whoever you're going to tell, someone is sick, not feeling well. Could you pray for them? Could you come with me and pray for them? He gave us that authority. He says, and then we should go without payment and give without taking gold. And what he's saying, when you go take care of someone, you don't need to go for no money. You don't go with no money. You don't go and ask for payment. Because you got whatever you needed freely. Salvation was given to you freely. Healing came to you freely. So you don't take any money. No copper in your belts, no back for your journey, no nothing. Just go when somebody needs help and you could serve in the church. You could serve on the outside. You do it in the name of Jesus. Wanting nothing for the journey, because God has already blessed you, blessed us, gave us life and hope. And we, there are those of us here who give up our resources. And then he says, when you enter a house, you see what he's telling us here, and I'm going to paraphrase this, when you enter a place and if they don't receive you, don't argue and fight with people, believers who are going to go out. This says, shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. That if I bring the word to you and I tell you about Jesus and you don't want to hear, don't argue and fight. You ever see these people beating up people? They're going to die and go to hell. You ever seen them on the stride? Right? Knock you over, then you don't want to see another Christian. Right? Can it just knock you over the head? Knock you down. I am losing it. It's the heat. I better stop it. And so what happens is he doesn't want us to do that. We tell them the word. We tell them about the love of Jesus. Whatever the need is, because we never know. And if they receive it, they receive it. If they don't, it says, God bless you. And you move on. Because we're not the one who's going to change their lives. It's going to be who? Jesus. Sometimes we want to see gratification right there, instant gratification, so we can say we did it. We didn't do anything. It's the power of Jesus Christ to heal. We're just vessels to bring the good news. So he says, shake the dust off your feet. Just keep running. If the house is worthy, you let your peace be upon them. But if it's not, keep moving. And then, towards the end, he says, folks, there's going to be persecution. Do you know that serving Christ is never easy? There are things that happen. Do we get sick when we serve Christ? Yes. We may get sick. Do people persecute us? Yes. People persecute the church. Did you hear in the news this morning? 3 AME church on Long Island has been desecrated for the last week with satanic graffiti. I heard this on the news last night, I think. 3 churches in Amityville, not even Long Island, Amityville, been desecrated thing. Persecution. And you know, we had a beautiful sign outside with the cross and the thing, that lovely sign. A young person we found, I'm not going to get into detail of the story, because you know, I remember Jay Leno used to always talk about stupid criminals, and he used to be laugh. This young person came late, early in the morning, and they tore down our sign. And when I guess when they were running, their cell phone, they dropped their cell phone. Can you imagine how God is awesome? And it was early in the morning. They dropped their cell phone. When I got up and I saw the sign out front, I was coming to prayer. I'd gotten up early. I look out and I said, you know, because the window to the side, the sign, our cross was torn down. And I came down to come over here and I said, let me stop out there first. And my newspaper, so I know they came early in the morning, because my newspaper comes at about 4:45, maybe 5 o'clock. My newspaper was moved from the front. It was torn up over the front lawn here, our front lawn, on top of our cross that they had pulled out, which we're going to pull back, and the water, and it was all wet because the sprinkler comes on. So it had to be about 5 o'clock. And as I'm standing there, and I said, Lord, why would somebody do this? Holy Spirit says, look down. I look down, and there is the cell phone, lip gloss, and something else, and the charger. I picked it up, and I brought it inside. You know, we're phone people, so I went for my charger, and I charged it. And guess what? The phone doesn't even lock. Didn't have a lock. So I called the police. Police came and called the girl. Called the mother, and the mother came on. The police, I made him dial, because the mother, she had sent a text. Mom, pick me up. It was 4 in the morning. And the mother says, Tara, where are you? Police came in, and she went on. She's trying to tell them after she finally came. The police said, I said to the police, she has to come here. We're not sending her phone. She needs to know. Desecration. The devil gets into people. And so she came and tried to make up this story, saying that somebody probably stole her phone. I says, at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. And I says, you mean they stole your lip gloss also? That's when she was surprised. The mother was a little bit overwhelmed and asked us if we were pressing charges. I says, no, but I wanted to speak to the young lady. And I spoke to her, spoke with her. I says, I pray for you. I'm praying for you that you get smart, because you are only 18 or 19. You're out at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. The next time, you may not be that lucky. Somebody may hurt you. I says, so that is my prayer for you. She came here, she told me she's coming to serve in the food pantry. We'll see. I said, but I'm telling you this. I says, God was watching over you. I don't know if you're religious, but God was watching over you, and you need not to do this anymore. This is the world. Persecution comes. Our little persecution was simple. Because then the Lord made me know, what are you worried about? There were three churches that were desecrated. They marked up the churches with satanic. So persecution comes even though we're doing good work. That's what Romans is talking about, right? And that's what Jesus says at the end. But we keep doing it, right? We keep doing it. And I'm praying for Tara. I was with a group of clergy yesterday, and I told them about her. And I said, let's pray for her, that she'll be touched. And I told the mother, I'm glad that she's safe. Because the aim is not to get back anything from her. The aim is to bless her. And to let her see that there are Christian people in a church who are loving. When she asked me for, they wanted to sit, and she says, we could sit on the ground. I says, no, we're Christians. We have chairs. We'll bring chairs. She was gonna, and I went and got the chairs. She says, no, we could sit up front, because she was nervous. I says, no, we're Christians. That's what we do. We take care of people. We get. And the thing is, she would come when we were doing the food pantry. And I says, yes, we serve people downstairs. People come in and we give them food. And we help them. And she says, you do it. I'm going to come back and help. I didn't take her phone number, and I could have written it down, but I would never, don't want to have that to have to call her. But I'm going to see if she shows up. She says, can I come on a Friday morning? But that's the idea, so what? To show her love, even though we're persecuted. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Is it going to be easy? No, people will tell us off. Right? There may be folks on drugs who we're going to go to and probably talk to, and they tell you to leave them alone. You just leave them alone and you keep praying. But your prayers are sincere, because you never know. And I'll close with this, as I do one other thing. On Friday, Linda brought up a lady who's going to get operation on her eye. She's going to lose her eye. She's in her 40s. Comes to the food pantry. She brought up for prayer. That's not the first time we have prayed for her. I've prayed, and Zamzam and I have prayed, and Linda. But she brought, I said to her, bring her up to the chapel. Bring her up to the chapel. Then I said, let's go to the sanctuary. And we prayed, and the operation is tomorrow. Her name is Dawn. And they've worked on the eye, but she's going to lose it. And Linda, something that I never read before, Linda said, after we finished praying, she said, give her a beer. She gave her the beer. Now, I've never read the tag. I never read the tag before. And I read the tag to her, and she started to cry. And the tag on the beer says, this beer has been among the congregation of Hicksville United Methodist Church. It has heard the word read, prayers prayed, songs of praise sung, and the sermon preached. It has been given love, and now it come to you with the blessings of worship. And she held on to it, and I says, thank you, Helen.
We need more beer.
Yes, she needs more beer. And she held on to it, and I says, take it with you to the hospital. And she said, she started to cry. And I went to my office. I had some little crosses, and I brought back one, and I gave it to her. Because we have the good news. We know the good news of Jesus Christ. And that beer meant so much to her, she couldn't stop weeping. Thank you, Linda, that you thought of it. That we as a church will bring her some comfort to know that a group is praying for her, this church. This is what the Lord is telling us, because the harvest is plentiful, church. And the laborers are few. And we are praying to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Each and every one of us can do something. And so, church, as I close, we've made up some business cards. We're not quite done yet. I put a sheet that says church invitation business card, name and quantity. And these little business cards, they have a picture of the church. I put one outside, and it says Hicksville United Methodist Church. It has our phone number, our address, and our website, and so on. And at the back, we're going to be writing, or something like this, open for ideas. I would like you to come and worship with us. If you need a ride, I will pick you up. I will sit with you in church and bring you safely home. And then your name or my name, whoever the person is. And then when you see someone who needs it, that's all it says, right? You hand it to them. If they're really interested, they'll say, here's my number. You know, you could call me. I want to come this Sunday. business cards. Hicksville United Methodist Church will say at the front, phone number and everything, and then at the back, it's an simple invitation if you'd like to come to church. I put a sign-up sheet outside, and you could sign your name and put the quantity you need. That all of us can be part of this. To give, you ever know the person you hand a card may one day want to come. They don't even need the number, because guess what? They have the phone number of the church already, and they know your name. They could call up and say, you know, I met Ellen Giafrida, and she said she's invited me to church and I'd like to come. And our job is to get in touch with Ellen. We could all do that. So the list is outside. Pray on it. Those of you who need to pray for a while. Not everybody's going to do this, but for those who the Lord places on your heart. And I got this from another pastor. I had already made these business cards up, and then I realized when he told me about the little note, you don't have to say much. It's all on there to invite people to come. Come where we are. Come to worship. Come to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen.